Oh, taste and see
that the Lord is good. That's the focus of Psalm 34. That's the theme. And we want to read that psalm together. Psalm 34 in your pew Bibles, found on page 547. Page 547. Psalm 34. Psalm of David. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out, and he went away. Maybe you remember that story from 1 Samuel 21. And so after his deliverance from Abimelech, the Philistine king, this is the psalm David wrote. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let's read again verses 8 through 10, shall we? 8 through 10, filled with promises for everyone who believes in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word this morning. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, have you ever seen a jar filled with honey? You know when you see that it's good. Because it just looks good. You can see it in the golden yellow. And you can see it in that syrupy flow off your knife onto your toast, your buttered toast. Yum, yum, yum. You can see that it's yummy for your rumbly tumbly. Honey. But how much better to taste it. If you really want to know how good honey is, how much better to taste it than you know its goodness by experience. And that's exactly what God is telling us in Psalm 34 through David. It's one thing to know God is good from the Bible, in your doctrine, in Bible verses, and Bible knowledge. That's excellent to know. It's essential to know. But how much richer it is to know it by experience, by tasting it for yourself, tasting Him. In your time of need, running to God for help and discovering how good He really is when He comes to you and saves you and helps you. And that's what David is calling us to enjoy in this psalm, the believer, to know the goodness of God, not just doctrinally, which is hugely important, but experientially, personally, by tasting, by trying Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We want to see two things. Taste testing God's goodness, and secondly, satisfied by God's goodness. Taste testing the goodness of the Lord. If you look at these verses, Psalm 34, 8 through 10, it's a command, isn't it? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's two commands. Taste Him, see that He's good. And then verse 9, another command. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. Taste Him, see that He's good. Fear the Lord. That's a command. It's to be obeyed. Don't stay at a distance from God and say, I know He's good. But come to Him, grab Him, take Him. That's the idea. This is a special form of command, though, in this passage. It's an invitation command. That is, it's a command that takes the form of an invitation. If you're in trouble, if you're wondering whether God is good, if you're wondering whether He's real, whether He cares for you, whether He really hears your prayers, maybe you're wondering that right now in your life. If you're wondering whether He's alive and awake, if you're wondering how much God is really for you, David is saying, don't stand back and wait, taste, and see. See His goodness for yourself. Now this invitation command comes after David, for verses 1 through 7, has been describing his own taste test of God's goodness. Verses 1 through 7, it's really telling us about his own experience of God in his time of need. He's been through some deep waters. David, you know, has been anointed by God through Samuel. But he's not yet a king. He's waiting. And life isn't easy while he's waiting. He's fleeing King Saul. King Saul wants his head, wants to kill him. So what does he do? One time he decides to go to the city of Gath in Philistia and take refuge under King Abimelech, or Achish. Both names are true for him. And King Achish, King Abimelech, gives him asylum. Says, yeah, you can stay here. Good. But then King Achish's men come and say, you don't want this man. This is David. And Israel is singing songs right now about David. Saul has slain his thousands. David has tens of thousands. This guy's an enemy. David's in trouble. He's surely going to get killed now. Do you remember what he did? He began to act like a madman, a crazy man. And he begins to froth at the mouth, and spittle's going down his beard. And king finally says, don't I have enough madmen in my country that I need this guy? Get him out of here. And so David flees. God spares his life. 1 Samuel 21 gives us the facts of the case. Psalm 34 gives us what was going on inside David. He's praying like mad during this time. He's praying like crazy. God, get me out of here. God, you need to rescue me now. Am I not your anointed one? This poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And he's celebrating now that the Lord has answered his prayers when he was in that time of need, when he was in Abimelech's land and under the threat of death. The Lord saved his life. And this deliverance reminds him of all the deliverances that David has experienced so far in his life. You see, David has done more than learn and know the goodness of God as an attribute in theology. Done more than to learn and know that the goodness of God is one of God's attributes in theology. He has tasted, tested, and tried that attribute of God. He's tasted and seen the God who is good over and over and over again. He's come to him. He's asked the Lord for help. And do you know what? Every time the Lord has answered him and delivered him in his way, in God's way, when he sinned, he cried out to the Lord for deliverance. We see that in the Psalms. Lord, according to your mercy, blot out my transgressions. And he was washed. And when he was afraid, what did he do? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. And when he was at wit's end from fleeing from King Saul, he cried out to the Lord for help. And when his own men turned against him to stone him, remember one time when he was not yet king? We read in 1 Samuel 30, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Lord, my own men now are going to stone me. Save me. And whatever it was that he faced, he cried out. If it was famine, he cried out. If it was fear, he cried out. If it was failure, he cried out. If it was foes, he cried out. If it was little faith, he cried out. This psalm of praise is not cheap praises coming from an easy life. Just look at the troubles in Psalm 34. It's chock full of troubles. It's not cheap praise coming from an easy life. These are the deep praises of a man who's faced deep troubles and he has had to go deep with God. And that's what David, God through David, is calling us to do in our lives. To go deep with God in the midst of all the needs of your life and mine. And it doesn't matter what the need is, whether it's very small in the eyes of this world or very large, take it to the Lord in prayer. David's life was filled with many troubles, and some were of his own making. Some came from his own failing. Some people believe that his running to Gath to find asylum under Abimelech was a foolish thing to do. But even there in that spot, even if that was a failure, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Other troubles came from his enemies. Saul, other foes that he faced. Some came from God, just putting him in a time of darkness, a troubled soul. So that God would train David to hope in the Lord and to taste him and to drink deep from the wells of salvation. So what is David saying here? He's telling his fellow saints, don't hang on to your problems and troubles and try to go through them alone in your own strength. He's speaking to his fellow saints because often, even as believers, we don't cry out to the Lord like we should. And we assume, where do we get that assumption from? I'm not sure. We assume that we have to do this alone. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. What keeps us from crying out to the Lord? What keeps us from tasting and seeing the goodness of God in our troubles? One thing could be pride. I've got enough insight. I've gone through this before. I know how to do this. I'm going to show everybody that I can do it. Pride. Another is anger. We begin to ignore and despise the Lord because we're angry with him, upset with him for allowing this to happen in my life. He's not aware, he's not interested, he doesn't care, and I'm not calling to him. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's fright. I've gone too far this time in my sin. This failure is my own doing. This time when I cry out, he's not going to listen to me. So I'm not even going to try. Sometimes it's fright. Sometimes it's simple unbelief. We don't trust God to hear. We don't trust God to answer. We don't trust God to deliver us. We're caught up in a life of practical atheism. We believe in God by our profession, but he's not making a difference. So I'm just not going there. There's a variety of reasons that we need this call invitation to taste test the goodness of God in our lives. Because when we don't, what happens? Our lives begin to settle into a habit of disobedience and compromise and defeat because we're not calling on the Lord's name. When we get mistreated, we let desire for revenge defeat us. When we sin or are tempted, we let the wave of sin overcome us because we don't cry out to the Lord. When we're afraid, we don't ask for help to overcome our fears because we let the fear rule our lives. Brothers and sisters, God delivered David from not only his afflictions, but his fears, from his foes, his failures. God is calling us here to turn our theology into reality, taste. You've heard that he's good? Go and taste test his goodness for yourself. With your own life, call upon him in truth and sincerity and see what he can and will do for you. And the best way to taste and see the goodness of God is to trust in his son, Jesus, because he's the ultimate gift of God's goodness. And when Peter quotes this in 1 Peter 2 in the New Testament, if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, the Lord there is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate gift of the goodness of God. He's the doorway to the Father's good gifts. You're not worthy of receiving help. Jesus is. Go to him and go through him. You deserve God's wrath. I deserve God's wrath. We don't deserve God's goodness. Have no fear. Jesus came to take the Father's wrath on himself to give us access to the Father's goodness. The Father put his wrath on his Son at the cross so that he could pour out his goodness on us who trust in him. Jesus is the mediator of all God's goodness, of all God's blessings. So call on his name And in his name, God will give you all you need and all that you ask according to his will. He really will. And even at the table, Jesus is saying to us in bread and wine, there is everything you need in me to bring you to eternal life. I have fully accomplished everything you need. I've taken your affliction on me. I've taken the bitterness of the cup upon me so that you could be delivered and you can be blessed instead. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that's what we see, secondly, satisfaction with God's goodness. Psalm 34 is filled with promise. God is filled with promise for you, dear believer. Let's look at the promises of verses 8, 9, and 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here's the first promise. Blessed. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You are blessed. The word means happy. Filled. Second promise. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have no lack. Same language. And again, verse 10, that promise is repeated. The young lions suffer want and hunger. They shouldn't. That lioness, the queen of the jungle, has got all kinds of power to supply the lion cubs. And here we are, weak and needy, poor. This poor man cried out. What are we compared to the lion family? Oh, yes, you're weak and needy, but you have God. So the young lions, they suffer want and hunger, but not you, who call upon the name of the Lord. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. God is so good that those who trust in him and fear him will be blessed, so blessed that they will have no lack. Lack no good thing. Your life will be filled to the full with the goodness of God. And maybe you're saying right now, that's too Pollyannish for me. That's too unrealistic. That's too idealistic. That's not real. Beloved, don't doubt this promise of God. Only believe. The psalm is not unrealistic. Every word of it is gospel truth. It's not idealistic. Because David is living in the midst of muddy messes. Again, read the psalm. Enemies, troubles, fears, afflictions, failures. His life went, look at his life. It went from strength to strength. But yeah, along with that, it went from trouble to trouble. Sometimes he was in double trouble or triple trouble. But David is saying, as a needy saint who's seeking, taking refuge in God, I am living the good life right now, no matter how bad things may seem to be. Here's where we in Western culture really need to learn the goodness of God. The good life is not found when things are going well for you. The stocks are up. You've got the new house. You've got the nice truck. Everything is smooth. Everything is going to according to plan. Then life is good. No. The good life is when this poor man cries out to the Lord, tastes the Lord's goodness, and sees that he's good. You know, Solomon tried this good life idea that the good life is when you have achieved fame and power and wealth and everything your little heart could ever want. Remember, he said, I got to the top of the world and my life was empty. The good life is found in knowing God, trusting him. Good life is found in the person in a mess, in the mud, and God is with you. That's the good life. And when you trust in him, his love surrounds you, his hand upholds you, his grace forgives you, his promise supports you, his presence goes with you, the joy of eternal life fills you, his wisdom guides you, his spirit empowers you, you are rich beyond any wealth anybody can enjoy in this earth when you have God, when you taste God. And that's why David, whose life is a mess of troubles, and he's not yet a king, and he's fleeing. He's somewhere now in the cave of Adullam. And he gathers his 600 men, and he says, listen to this song I wrote. Listen to this song God gave me. And he starts, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul boasts in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And then he says to the 600 men, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I want you to see his goodness along with me. Can you imagine all the riches of God's glory we're enjoying these days? You're muttering about being in the cave of Adullam, but God is here. Life is good. Reminds me of Horatio Spafford after losing his wife and daughters while they were on a boat traveling back to England for a visit. And a flood of tears and grief wrote, it is well with my soul. My life is good with God. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And so I encourage you to read Psalm 34 again later and see the list of the blessings in this psalm that are satisfying David's life and will satisfy every believer who calls upon his name. He delivered me from all my fears. Yes, sometimes we don't just need to be delivered from troubles, but from fears. We can get tangled in fear. He made my face radiant. I will never be put to shame. You just travel through the psalm. The angel of the Lord is sent to you to encamp around you. You lack nothing. His eyes see the righteous. His ears hear your cries. Wow. He hears your prayer and delivers you out of all your troubles. He's near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. He delivers you from all your afflictions. Not one of your bones will be broken. He preserves your body. One day he'll give you resurrection. They really can't do anything to you. Death really can't do anything to you either. Jesus has got that problem solved. And with God, you've got that problem licked as well. Your persecutors, abusers, and oppressors will be destroyed. Their memory will be cut off, it says. Wow, think about that promise. How those memories can afflict you. That memory will be cut off. God will see to it. And the last verse, redeemed from guilt and condemnation. Wow. It reminds me of what Jeremiah says about the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31:14. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. And all that was promised in the old covenant, Jeremiah says, is going to come to a full experience in the new covenant. What David had in types through Jesus Christ, you get in reality. And so Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, filled with the goodness of God. Well, brothers and sisters, some experiences in life have a sour taste, a bitter taste. Sometimes God gives you a bitter cup to drink. But you may know that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, in His great goodness to drink the bitterness out of the cup, to drink the punishment, the wrath of God out of the cup of suffering that He puts in your hand. To drink the hell and damnation and death out of that cup. So that it becomes for you a cup of blessing. And you can say with Paul in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God is working for our good. All things God is for us, not against us. Because the bitterness, the affliction, the death, He put on His Son. And when we know that, that puts our lives in a whole new light and puts us in a whole new game. It puts a song in your heart and sets you free and gives you soul-satisfying richness even when you are in trouble and in pain and in sorrow and being treated unjustly. John Calvin explains, God never disappoints the expectations of those who seek Him. The only impediment which prevents us from being satisfied and bountifully in abundance with the goodness of God, the only impediment is our own unbelief. It's not a promise that God will make your life trouble-free, pain-free, worry-free, sin-free, if you have faith. This is not the prosperity gospel. It's a promise that in any and every situation, as you come to Him, He'll supply your needs. And in the midst of the pain, the worry, the sin, the trouble, you'll find a resting place because of Christ. Praise the Lord for the goodness of sending His Son to take the bitterness out of our cup so that we might be blessed forever. Amen.